And I think the art of networking is just that. There's an art to it, to kind of get your message across.
Welcome, construction industry professionals. You're listening to The Art of Construction, specifically designed for contractors and architects to grow your business. Here are your hosts, Devin and Kevin.
Dive in and have an interview with Chris Armenta, who is the marketing and business development manager for Blind Corners and Curves. First show with a duplicate from one business, huh?
No, absolutely. But I'm really interested in hearing from Chris because don't you see him in every networking event that you go to? And he's always relied upon and seems to be kind of a go-to kind of a resource in the business.
Totally. I don't know if I've ever not seen him at an event.
No, it says a lot, too. And people think highly of him and kind of interested in peeling back the onion a little bit and hearing more about how he goes about it and kind of what results he's getting from the work that he's putting in, because it seems to be pretty beneficial.
Yeah, and my thought process was have him on the show so our contractors and architects listening to this, from the perspective of the people that are putting it on and why they're going to all these events, at the end of the day, everybody looks at it and says, what's in it for me, of all the emails and all the stuff you get? So I want to just have a conversation and say, what's in it for me? And dive in and have a chat with Chris about that.
Yeah, and I think he would be the best guy to hear that from. So looking forward to it.
Let's do it. What's your favorite beverage?
Favorite beverage? Wow. Can I say water? I feel like I may have a water right here, dry water with me.
You really, is it a special kind of water? Or?
It's not. Well, it's funny because I used to be really on the Red Bull. Because I'm not a coffee drinker.
Okay.
But that's really bad for you.
Yeah.
So I started doing... I'm trying to just stay hydrated these days. And I'm
it's important
really,
around here.
I'm really off the Red Bull, unless I need it. Because obviously you get up early and you need some
stay good
of
and hydrated, and then I see you at a lot of networking events at night. So what's your favorite choice of beverage at the networking event?
But I'm going to have a beer, just a light beer.
There you go.
I'm not fancy.
Good stuff. What's your favorite place you've traveled, Chris?
I've been to Spain. That was really fun. Yeah, probably Spain. I've always said if I could live anywhere, I'd want to live in New York. If I could retire anywhere, probably Spain.
All right.
Yeah.
Did you go to the coast or were you inland? Were you in Barcelona? Or?
I went to Barcelona originally and then I actually went to Ibiza, which is an island.
Oh, yeah.
Right on the outside of Spain.
It's
wow. It's a really big... touristy, big kind of mecca for clubs and DJs and stuff. So
DJs. Nice. Well, what's your favorite hobby?
Well, I, that goes into that.
Yes.
I also DJ. I've done it for many, many years, over probably 12, 13 years now. I did it all through college. I did just DJing for about a year out of college. And then I was like, maybe I should use my degree.
Yeah. Cool. But now you're tying the hobby into your business sometimes, right?
Sometimes.
Yeah,
the word's kind of out.
Be careful. Don't say that on the show, right?
Right. Well, yeah, a lot of different groups are asking me, we need a DJ. So it's been nice.
Yeah. So Chris Armenta with Blind Corners and Curves. We've already had the owner of Blind Corners and Curves, who a lot of the message of that show was all about finding the right culture and how the hiring process.
Okay.
So we'd love to have you kind of talk about that with what Brian Workman talked about. So tell us about your role as the marketing and business development manager at Blind Corners and Curves.
Well, you know, when I first came on board, and it's been about 3 years now, I was originally just hired based on my marketing experience. They really needed someone to kind of be the glue with a lot of that.
Huh.
Do a lot of our email pieces, a lot of our more inside sales type of deal. But it kind of developed into more of the business development, which you're going to see. You see that in a lot of companies now. It's a really goes hand in hand into that, or a lot of marketing professionals are moving into that realm. Ultimately, I've kind of become the face of the company is how we describe it over there, because I'm very visible in the industry.
Yep.
I'm definitely trying to make those connections with not so much the retail end, but more within the industry.
Great.
So, yeah.
So I always ask myself before the guest comes on, so why do I want to have this guest on the show for our ideal customers, contractors, and architects listening to this? And that's basically the exact reason why I did want to have you on the show, Chris, is because you and the team of Blind Corners and Curves, led by you, are out and about all the time. When you say your company name in the industry, it's really well known. And we want the same for our ideal contractors and architects listening to this to make their company really well known. So I kind of wanted you to talk about, you know, how to build an event, how to host an event. And all of us on the supplier side are thinking, you know, at our showrooms to get customers there. But a contractor having an open house, and what are some of the things on their level that we can take the parallels and also learn more about your company along the way?
I mean, I guess I'll start there with, I consider my, you know, being a younger guy, some might consider me new school or whatever, but I'm honestly, my approach with a lot of that is old school. It's as easy as picking up the phone. You can always mass email, and that's why I am very visible out there, because I think when you look at someone on a personal level with a handshake, it means a lot more than, you know, an email or and whatnot. So
yeah, that's a great comment, because the catch 22 of the being comfortable to be out in front of people, but being sure. New school and a younger, probably a breath of fresh air. Now you say that, I didn't think a lot about that, but a builder that's been in this market or wherever you're at, you know, we make these shows globally, wherever you're at, a young guy that comes up to you that is fresh and bringing some new ideas, but also recognizing, you know, what got you there, right?
Absolutely. I mean, you're going to be remembered in that manner. And I think when you are talking about doing a successful event, whether it's, you know, within business or if you're just throwing a party or something, people are going to come if they like you. So, you know, when I put together an event or help plan something, and, you know, you think about who you're going to invite, and if you have those relationships in place, if you can make a phone call, it kind of starts there. And that's kind of what I do. That's what I'm in charge of, is creating and then maintaining those relationships.
So you keep referencing the phone call, but yet you said you were hiring and your background is marketing. It's like,
yep.
you made the comment, you keep saying a phone call, being visible, not a mass email.
Sure, sure.
And that's what I think our generation is stuck in, is seeing the messages on our phone.
Well, and part of that might be described as personal marketing in a way, not marketing for your own person necessarily, although for individual contractors and owners that could be the case. But the reality is, you're putting your person up front as a part of the marketing piece for Blind Corners and Curves, sounds like.
Absolutely. And that's why a lot of what I do, you don't necessarily see the return on investment immediately. It's really, you're trying to create that relationship. And, you know, I might see someone, you know, 4 or 5 times before they decide they want to do any sort of business with us. And that's all right. That's kind of what it is. And, you know, I think that's how it works today, because you're so bombarded with all this information and all these people trying to sell to you. Sometimes, you know, it's someone that's consistent and someone that you like. And then eventually, you know, you can create that relationship and ultimately some business out of it.
Well, it sounds like it's a lot like the physical building process. You know, you build the basement, you don't really see a whole lot, and you don't really see the house until later, right? So you don't see the fruit of all the work going into that personal level of marketing until, you know, 4 or 5 visits or more.
Yeah, I disagree with that. I'm just kidding. That was well said. I like how you brought that around.
And it'd be safe to say networking is a marathon, not a sprint. If you're looking at it, I'm just going to have an event and I'm going to get all the rewards from having one event, don't even waste your time having the event, is the way I see it.
Sure.
Because if you're a builder that's going to just have one open house and think that one open house is all you got to do, don't even have the open house. Put together
right.
A plan, put your calendar together, earn the relationship to have those events at multiple houses. And, you know, they say you got to see stuff over and over again. So you got to see, you got to find your niche, find your area, have those open houses on a regular basis. And then over time, it's like perception is reality. They see your name over and over again. It's kind of like the Chinese New Year party. We have this big event that you got to be better and different as well. Just another open house with a yard sign doesn't
yeah.
do it anymore. So like our big event at Mountain View is called the Chinese New Year Party, and they say the best ideas are stolen, right? So I got that from Bev Hutter, the guy I bought this building from, has been in this industry for a long time. And you hear about the Chinese New Year Party and they're like, you got to go see this dragon show. They're going to light fireworks. They're going to do all this stuff that it's not just another networking event. So you already have a story to tell that's different and better. But then it's also been year after year after year, you got to do it to be
sure,
relevant,
sure.
right? Would that be a safe thing to say in networking? And kind of tell us what makes, in your mind, a top-notch networking event.
This is actually something that I've been focusing on of late. I do a lot with the HBA, the Home Builders Association, here in Metro Denver. and we do a monthly after-hours event. And really what's gotten a lot of people into the door, especially a lot of the top-notch people, is adding an aspect of education to it. So if you can do that, I mean, like I said, I do so much networking. I go to all these things, and after a certain point, it gets a little repetitive if you're just going there for, you know, a snack and a drink, and you talk to people. And if you can add something of value, that's key. You're going to get more people in the door. You're going to get different people in the door. You know, like I mentioned with the HBA, we've involved that where there's some sort of seminar or a speaker. You don't want to get too big on it. Like interior designers and architects where they need credits, just a class. I think a little bit of both has seemed to work and gotten attendance up, and people respond well and they enjoy it and they'll come back. So I think really adding that into the mix has been real valuable. And I think that's another way to kind of set your event apart. If you can have a really good speaker, really good content, and so forth. But I think that's kind of the newest kind of secret formula that I've been using a lot.
I think you're talking the other side of the fence, where when I said the Chinese New Year party is more the masses event, more a targeted approach, because you got to look at them two different ways.
Sure.
You know, the targeted approach is you're looking for people who are looking for you. And when, you know, the HBA you're mentioning, you're looking for the right builders that want to get educated, that you're also selling materials to those
right,
builders.
Right.
So I'm getting to the point is, you know, we have a lot of networking events ourselves. And it's just like this podcast. I would much rather have ideal customer listening to this than just the masses. I'm not looking for all these numbers to come back. You know, that's nice at the end of the day, but what do you get out of that at the end of the day? So having targeted versus mass events would also be something to recognize.
Yeah, definitely. And there's definitely a difference there, because of the events that I'm talking about that, you know, use that education, these are, like I mentioned, monthly type events. Things are going to happen throughout the year. I think the difference with something like the Chinese New Year, this is something once a year. This is more
thanking
like
everybody.
A gala, like a holiday party or something you don't miss, which I think is different, because you don't want to go there and then there's a class or a speaker or something like that.
Yeah,
you want a dragon show.
So, you know, Chris, one of the things I'm curious about is if you could talk to how in-person marketing, networking, et cetera, has provided you with any benefit when it comes to what might be otherwise called non-personal communication, you know, emails and all those kind of things that we have to rely on the technology. Mm-hmm. So, in other words, are you getting back responses and communications from people that you've, you know, met at networking events that maybe otherwise would go in the trash can?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you're always going to have, I don't want to downplay, you know, some of the online stuff and the emailing and some of the little less personal stuff, because you still need that. You still have to have touches with people. And that's how you maintain a database and all that. You still need it. But absolutely. I mean, there was a builder that we did a lot of work with last year, and it took, I mean, I probably spent three or four times at different events with him, and he never had a business card. Like, every time I was hanging out with him, he's like, you know what, I don't have a business card. So it was just kind of me giving him my card every time, and, you know, half the time, you're guessing, that's not working. You don't get a ton of calls back on, you know, you have to be the driving force on that one. But eventually, he gave me a call, and this was probably a year down the road, and it was someone that still, I never had his business card. You know, I knew his name. I think I had gotten his phone number or something at some point, but, you know, he never had it. So it wasn't something that I thought we'd do a whole bunch of business with. We ended up doing a ton of business with this builder, and it was really that visibility and seeing him out.
Sure.
Because, you know, as obviously someone that never has a business card, he's not big on it. And even to this day, he's tough to get a hold of if you're going to send him an email or something. He's notorious for that. But the reason that we have that relationship and that we did business is that, you know, seeing them in events and that personal eye-to-eye type of networking.
Sure. Right.
Absolutely.
Chris, I see you at every event I go to. And the question I want to ask is for our contractors and architects listening to this, what would you tell them? What is the best way for them to research and find out what are the best events for them to go to? What sources would you recommend them going to find out what may be the most relevant, you know, training or masses event that would help their business?
Well, I mean, ultimately, I do a lot of work within associations, so I think that's always a good place to start, especially when you're trying to do more of that, a niche event, something that's the more bang for your buck, whether it's the education or the certain people you want to see. I think you got to start there, and I think it's important not only for what it can give you. I think ultimately you got to give to the industry too, and that starts with joining a home builders association or a National Kitchen and Bath or, you know, yeah, any of those, an AIA. And ultimately, that's kind of where I cherry pick a lot of events. Originally, you just go to their calendars, you see what you like. Eventually, you might get I'm on a ton of email lists, so I get a lot of really up to date on events. But and then ultimately, what I do is within these associations, then you start working on becoming one of the leaders at these associations. At this point, I'm really planning a lot of the events and not so much, you know, picking which one to go to. So, and that's nice because I already know for the next year all the events that are happening, a lot of them, and you can kind of, you know, create them the way that they should be presented. So, you know, I would start with an association and kind of go from there.
Yeah. I'm glad you answered that way, because as I was researching this weekend on kind of what questions to ask and how to develop this podcast, I said, you know, the whole thing is what do you like to do? What are you good at? And you got to buy right to sell right. And that's kind of the whole idea of this show with the Art of Construction. So personally, one of my hobbies is woodworking, and I really enjoy, you know, that side of it, and also own a window and door company. So I said, well, if I want to do woodworking, what association? And that's exactly how I thought, is how to get more involved in that industry. So I literally just went to Google and I put in the search engine,
right,
Colorado Association for Woodworkers. And it came up, the Colorado Woodworkers Guild is the association for really guys that are into woodworking, uh-huh, that also, it ties into my business, you know, buying right, you know, rubbing elbows with the people that are like you. You know, I'm looking for people who are looking for me. So trying to give a real world story along with what we're talking about here. So I did that. I went online, looked at it. The first thing I always look at, you know, us new school that are marketing, and is their website relevant? Does it have new information? Can it go on my phone and work? And it hit a lot of the parts, but I find a lot of associations, it's either totally one side of the spectrum, like AIA, you go to their website and there's so much stuff that it's hard to find anything to zero in, or it's they haven't put anything on there for 4 years. And it's like, I find it a lot of it, one end of the spectrum or the other. So I went and found that. I joined it for, you know, $30, and I look on their calendar, it's their next event is in 3 weeks, so I'm going to go to that. And I think that's a great way just to try things out of what you like to do and what you're good at.
Yeah. You know, you mentioned going to a lot of websites that might not be up to date and everything. That's where you really got to get involved, because, I mean, there's a ton of, even a lot of the associations I'm with, they're not the best. They're not set up the best online. But once you kind of get involved and you put in the time, you know, you find out that they can be very active and it's not always that visible, you know, face value. So I think you just really got to kind of go in head first. And
that's what so that was the next thing I wanted to hit on is, Chris, we're honored to have you as part of our elite industry partners. And I'd love to give your take on that and you know, give me your perception of what elite industry partners is. But one of the comments we talked about at the group, you know, 2 months ago or whatever, was all of us are like, there's so many events. How do I find out about the relevant events? And where we're at, it's either Facebook that you're getting 200, you know, did you catch that message there?
Right.
Or did they get it put up on the website and did someone go look at the website? Or did you just pick up the phone and talk to the person? What is the right way to constantly? And I think it's, like you said, a mixed approach of hitting them with an email and a flyer, not too far ahead, but enough ahead. Because, you know, I want to go to the right events. I want to learn, get something out of it, hopefully get a business card and grow my business and grow my customer's business.
Yeah.
So my question is tell us about Elite Industry Partners that Brett and I started at Mountain View, and your take on a group that's behind the scenes.
I mean, it's just always good to have. I mean, I guess I'll go to the point of just having a group like that of great people around you for, you know, the resource value. Mm-hmm. One thing I've learned is, you know, you go to a lot of these events, and obviously you want to key on, you have certain focus of people that you want to go after, whether it's you know, the big home builder, that big custom home builder, or, you know, the architect, or we do a lot with interior designers. But I mean, there's a huge value in just industry partners. You meet a lot of those. I get just as much business out of those folks as I will with like a big builder. And I, you know, it's funny because you go to these events and, you know, people focus so much on that and they're upset if the right people aren't in the room. And I feel like, you know, I can do just as well meeting somebody that isn't necessarily that target group.
Because they're working with your target. That's the whole point.
Absolutely.
So because they're a non-competitive industry partner, they're working with like people that you're trying to reach,
yeah,
and want to do business with. And so therefore, sometimes you can get some good sharing of ideas and information and contacts and ultimately business.
Mm-hmm. And especially if you can meet those connectors. And I think that's, you know, I go to enough of these things and people have begun to zero in on me because they see me as a connector and they know that I can connect them with this and that. So you really have to pay attention to that too, which I think is not as focused upon within this industry. So, you know, the elite partners group that we're doing is exactly that. It's, yeah, you know, using each other. It's just as valuable, honestly.
Yeah. Super focused. So like a luxury builder listening to this, he might want to start a group with other luxury builders and bring them together. Or I'm a residential guy. I want to put together a group with a commercial and get funnel the leads, and less is more sometimes. And you nailed it, the connectors. That's the whole idea of this podcast is every show, everybody has their own little show with a message board for I'm wanting to connect the people that I found in the industry and trust, and from a local level to a global level, and all of us working together for the same goal. It's like we're all trying to do what we do really well.
Mm-hmm.
And how do you get that? The people, you got to buy right to sell right.
Yeah, exactly. And you can realize that you don't need to cast quite a big net when you're able to make those. I mean, if you look back, and I think a lot of people can agree with this, if you look at where you're getting most of your referrals, it's a small group of people. And you ultimately, you need to see who that is and find more of those people.
Yeah.
And it's not so much, you know, I have to go to every event and hit this person and that person. You know, you can be a little focused on who you're looking for. And it's really a lot of the people that have the good companies and those connectors like we're talking about.
Yeah, so just to circle back on the elite industry partners, it was started here at Mountain View Window and Door, and the goal is to have 10 non-competing businesses all coming into a room, and everybody brings one lead that is very focused to luxury contractors and one lead that they would like to get. And we're all swimming in the same pond and all doing the same thing and finding the right builders that are for us and the right companies that are also going after the same thing. So it's something to think about. Whatever your business is and wherever you're at, you want to swim with the right fish in the sea.
Sure.
Well, and I think a lot of it is just trying to leverage relationships. And so for whatever you're doing, it's trying to achieve 1 + 1 = 2. And I think just like what you talked about earlier, Chris, in terms of your personal marketing for the business, it's, you know, that way when you send an email, it has a lot more impact, or a phone call has a lot more impact because of all the other work that you've done. If you did either one of those, any one of those items by themselves, it would have much, much less impact. And I think that's what we're all collectively trying to do. So
every show, we always ask our guests, for contractors and architects listening to this, what was your biggest success in the past 12 months?
It's really a lot of the work that I've been doing the past couple, because we mentioned it's a pipeline and it takes time. It's all sort of been rolling in just the past kind of end of last year and then into this year. I see a lot of the payoff coming. A lot of that, of course, has to do with the economy, the industry we're in here in Denver, because it's kind of blowing up. I think this next year is going to be huge. But, you know, when you have those relationships in place, ultimately, they're coming to me, and I'm not going to them. You know, the wheel starts moving. So there's a few projects and a few, you know, big designers and builders that are kind of picking up the phone now and coming to me, which is nice, because that's why you put in all the work. And you don't always know. I mean, ultimately, when I go to an event or I'm rubbing elbows with you know, certain people, I'm not trying to sell them on our product, our next great product or something. I'm just ultimately trying to sell them on me and my company. So that's where I start. And, you know, it's not a question about, like, you know, what's your next project happening? It's like, you know, what'd you do for the holidays? You know, how's the family? Stuff like that. And I think once you you have that. It's a longer process, but I think it's a more important process. You know, the old, you want people you know, like, and trust. That's what it's all about. So I think seeing that curve at this point, like I said, I've been with the company about 3 years, and it was a process of learning for me because I was new to this industry. I have a strong marketing background, but not necessarily within, you know, the building industry or the design industry. So I had to start a lot of these relationships right when I came in, and now I'm starting to see, you know, a lot of that come around, and I'm really getting the hang of it too, which is nice. So it's I feel like I'm hitting my stride, and it's gonna be a good year, I think.
That's
a great overlying success. That basically, when we say the marathon, you've been training for 3 years, and
yeah.
Now you're starting to see those relationships that you're excited to see these people, and you've found. I always say, find their pain and fix it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're looking for people that are looking for you. You found a pain that you can fix, meaning a service or this or that to make their business
sure.
better. And now you have those people that are coming to you saying, sending you an email, giving you a call saying, fix my pain.
Right.
And that's what we're trying to do with these networking events, the right people. And tell us the kind of that curve as far as when you said new to the industry, because I think that's a key point right now. It's like you mentioned Denver, how busy it's gotten. And then it's
right.
like there's all these old timers, for lack of a better term, that there's not a lot of like people come in. When you go to these networking events, it's such a mixed of, you don't see a lot of just brand new young professionals. The old school guys are, a lot of them are to cut them down or to put them in their place, so to speak.
Sure,
because
sure.
a lot of it is a good old boys industry.
You know? Oh, absolutely.
And how do you swim in that pond and make it work?
Well, like you mentioned, there aren't a lot of me. So that's the first part. You know, I go there. And it's funny because, you know, I said the kind of the curve of this was about 3 years for me. It really could have been two. We just weren't quite sure what I was within the company at first. It's for sure morphed into something else. I think if we knew, like I said, it's somewhat new, this whole business development world. And, you know, a lot of us marketers are kind of getting turned into that. But you see a lot of the good companies that I work with and I know, there'll be a me at their company. There'll be someone that's just in charge of, you know, cultivating and developing these relationships. So it's still a kind of a new thing. Real powerful, too, because like I said, there aren't a lot of me out there. And you go out and, you know, people want to, you know, you're the social person. You know about these events. You seem to know everybody. It's attractive to other people. They see that and they're like, "What's this guy all about?"
Yeah,
it's how you present yourself. I for the listeners, I'm kind of known for, I'm always in a tie and a nice dress shirt, which you don't see a whole lot in this industry.
Right.
So it's how I brand myself. That's what I do. So people tend to remember me. There's an established kind of good old boys. You want to say it's. It's really not that tough to break down. Once you kind of, it's all about personality, and it's who you are. And I'm very energetic. I'm willing to you know, give a lot to this industry, and it shows. So.
And that's what I was hoping you were going to say, is it's not that hard to break down that wall.
Not at all.
And I look at, like, you go to a job fair, you know, right? When we went in college, you all mm-hmm. walked through this at the end, and it's the same companies that, you know, when you think of our industry, it's like the Sherwin-William Paints, and these same companies are the only ones there that have put all this focus into this climb the corporate ladder thing.
Right.
And the world we live in is not that at all. So it's like, I think it's a great industry because you can differentiate yourself so quick versus if you go down the road of, I'm going to go work for Enterprise Rent-A-Car or the corporate side of things for mm-hmm. Home Depot or this or that, you become just a number. Versus
yeah.
us, we're relationship based, and if you want to earn relationships, and it's a lot of fun, and then you get those relationships, and then you have that, and it's literally doing business with your friends. And I love going to events because it's like I'm going to catch up with my friends and exchange a few business cards and all the great stuff that comes along with that. When you look at it as relationship building, versus just give me your getting business, you know, the desperate dog.
Yeah, the desperate dog approach. Yeah, that doesn't work. It
yeah.
really doesn't. It doesn't work. And for the person trying to do it, it's not pleasurable either. So the other side, like you're describing, where you're building those relationships, and as long as there's a level of patience and understanding within the company, it's not only, you know, productive, but it's also a lot more enjoyable.
The return on investment is fantastic, and it's you know, you compare it to a lot of other marketing. Like I mentioned, I'm from that marketing world. It's so inexpensive to like go to events or just join an association. I mean, it's once you're in, and a lot of these associations don't cost a lot, and once you're in, you can kind of do what you want with it. You can get as much out of it as you want. I mean, I would suggest, you know, it's like anything, you get what you put in.
Absolutely.
But ultimately, if you're talking, you know, dollar signs, it's fairly inexpensive to get to do that kind of, you know, that kind of investment and to go at it that way.
Yeah. And then naturally, those are the people I enjoy seeing. And a lot of the people that I've had on the podcast show to this point are the people that we've joined and built, you know, IDI together and different. Mm-hmm. We've built groups as a team to find the pain for, you know, designers. We think we need to help them, literally the tools in the toolbox that you don't see, help them build that business. And like-minded business people, that none of us are the desperate dogs. It's like back when we're all trying to, you know, in college at the bar, you'd see that guy that's trying so hard. and it'd be like, man, every time he's like, oh, God, just back off, you know. And I've had to tell myself that in sales, too, because it's like, you know, I'm an expressive personality. And when I get going, it's like sometimes you just need to back off and let it come through and work it through the system, because the desperate dog at the bar is the last guy at the bar every time, and then goes home with his head down, you know?
Yeah, that's the key is you don't want to be too salesy. Yeah. And you know, and that's the same. I like how you're using that, the metaphor of the guy at the bar, because that's exactly how it is in like dating. Like, you don't want to be that guy that's like calling the girl, you know, every day.
And you don't want to be the guy in sales either. Like, both our contractor and architect with their homeowners, just like us as suppliers to the contractors, you don't want to be the guy that's sending 10 emails a day and calling 10 times either. There's a time and a place for everything. You know, when you want to go fishing, you want to catch the whale. You don't want to just take the leftovers. You know?
Yeah, exactly. Well, to bring it back to that builder I was talking about that finally picked up the phone and called me, I don't think we had one conversation about business in the 3 or 4 times that I hung out with them. It was
all personal.
Yeah,
or it was just all, whatever. You know,
pretty
just,
much, yeah. So I couldn't tell you, like, we said one thing about product or, like, his projects or anything. So, and that's, you know, but it's tricky because you're still, we're all allowed to do business still. And mm-hmm. I'm, you know, and I think the art of networking is just that. There's an art to it, to kind of get your message across, but you don't want to. I mean, I'm big on, you know, avoiding that feeling that I'm trying to sell something. I'm huge on that. Like, I'm trying to sell me and my company and like who I am and what we're about. But I don't want to talk into like specifics of business. But I mean, you still need to get that point across, and it's tricky and it's tough. I mean, I've been to a bunch of presentations on how to network and stuff, and you see, it's across the board. I went to one. I remember he comes with a certain amount of business cards, and he like times how much time he spends with each person, and then make sure he gives a business card, gets a business card, and it's very robotic. It seemed very cold, and I feel like that's an extreme. And this was like a high-end seminar, like, this is how you do it.
Yeah.
And I don't know if I agree with that. But at the same time, you don't want to be too chummy and too, you know, you want to make sure that you have a plan.
You got to remember why you're there, but not be the desperate dog.
Yeah. Well, and it's tough. It's not easy. It's, you know,
absolutely. And I think the description you used, that it's artful, is probably as good a description as you can come up with that, because that's the case. You know, it's a judgment call in every situation. You have to use that and try to balance both of those sides, because you are there to ultimately move product or sell your company or whatever it may be, but you got to do it in a way that's productive and not, you know, coming across as being aggressive.
But you do have to be memorable. I like how you say you're not over the top, but you wear a nice shirt and a tie all the time. You got to find, without, back to the bar analogy, you know, the desperate dog that is just so pimped out and just looks like, what the hell? Come on, dude. Seriously? We all know that guy, right?
Yeah.
When you're playing DJ out in the clubs, you look out and you see those guys. They jump out like a sore thumb. But then there's the guys that are right in the middle of there. And like, you know, Bev Hutter's helped me so much with that, because I was not good at, that's not my forte.
Uh-huh.
And he's like, Devin, you're the president of an up-and-coming company, and you look like you're the warehouse manager, or you look, you know, Dockers in a button-up shirt, just that is just another guy there. So I went out and invested in a wardrobe of sport coats, and I wear a sport coat, and that's my thing. Every event I go to, I wear a sport coat. And you got to have your thing. And, it, and then when you do that, then you feel better, you're more confident, and it all works out better. So find your memorable thing without being tacky.
Exactly.
Absolutely. And that, yeah, that stickiness on people is key. And I one of my favorite things when I go to an event is I get people that come up. I'll introduce myself to someone, and they're always like, I've already met you already. Because, you know, it's tough to keep that catalog. But I just like that people, and this happens all the time, they always tend to remember me, whether or not I'm able to remember them if at some event in the past. And that makes me happy because that knows that I'm doing something right. And
absolutely, it's working.
Yeah.
Well, Chris, one of the questions we always ask our guests is, what was the most challenging project you had in the last year? And you don't have to name specific names, but just a description of toughest project, how you overcame that, and kind of what you got out of all that.
And it can be a specific thing to the construction industry, one thing that jumps out at you.
I guess some of the challenges that I see, because we're still a smaller company. I wear a ton of hats, and we do have a pretty large retail end. And I just think once you start getting in that customer service realm of things, that's challenging. And a lot of the referrals that come in through me, I'm still that point man, and I have to deal from top to bottom. So I think it's challenging once you're dealing with some of those customers, and whether it's a builder that has a lot of needs out of you. That's the toughest thing. But I think I'm really good at that. I think that I'm good at putting out fires, and you know, ultimately it's just like networking. You got to be a good guy. You got to have a positive outlook, and just kind of that's how you need to approach everything. So I think once you get into that realm, I think that's a challenge. But
what's a couple tools they use to manage all your hats you have to wear?
I don't know, a good calendar. That's the main thing.
You laugh, but that's it.
Yeah.
And when you say a good calendar, I say a good system. Like, you got to have a calendar that you can be able to make changes and get alerts and be on the fly. And use technology, and we're overwhelmed nowadays with how many different... When you say the word calendar... Geez, how many different ways you can keep track of that? So how do you do it?
Oh, well, and it's funny because I talk about this a lot, is I'm half digital and I'm still half the paper calendar, which I have right in front of me. I kind of do both. I'm big on lists. I'm just kind of going through my calendar in the back. I'll kind of show these guys. There's just lists every week, and I'm crossing things off every day. That's the big thing. I don't know if it's the best way to go about it. It's my way.
Yeah. So I'm looking at that, and, you know, we're in this analog to digital transfer. And I think everyone tried to jump so fast to digital, including myself. Last year, my New Year's resolution was to go to 100% digital. And then I realized it wasn't working. So I started doing research and find out. And there's something about from that pen in your hand, from your brain to writing something down. So a suggestion I have for our listeners is a tool called Evernote. So Evernote is basically that thing that keeps track of everything. So you can keep that notebook throughout the day, and then you have special moleskin paper. And you, at the end of the day, you take photos of that. And the beauty of this is that I always ran with a three-ring binder, like you have your analog system there as well. But then how do you go back and search that list or this and that? So that's what Evernote does, is it takes all your stuff and you can put it into folders or just let it ride like I do, and then you can search Chris Armenta, and every correspondence I had with Chris Armenta comes up. So something worth mixing the digital with the analog world together.
Yeah, and that's, you mentioned that last week, that how it does that, and that still blows my mind. Later that day I was talking to someone about it. I was like, have you heard of this? And it's funny because a lot of people haven't heard of it yet. I'm sure it's really popular.
It's not. It's so new because
is it that new?
How do you make time to make that change? You know, that's what we talk about on this podcast, is we just stop and close the door and have a conversation of how can we make our business better. And then we have to force us all to go out and spread the word and force people to listen to this.
Right.
The beauty of this is, like, we all love the idea of going into networking events and learning and getting a seminar and this and that. But the reality is you only have so much time. And that's where I think the beauty of the podcast and things like Evernote, if you take a little bit of time now, you're going to save a bunch of time searching down the road, going through your three-ring binders or this and that. What I'm getting at is that's what the podcast show is all about, is we have this recording, and then you got to drive from point A to point B, And you do need to veg out and rock out to rock concerts, or if you're into Christian, do that. You got to have your time away from the business.
Sure, sure.
But you also have your time where you got to work on the business, and that's a good time. That's why I think the beauty of this podcast in this industry is the art of construction is awesome.
Well, I think every part of our lives is coming to a point of, you know, on demand, having things available when you want, not right. when they're out there by some old school broadcast. So. Yeah. So everything that we're doing is kind of the type of thing that you want to be able to have it when you want it and put it on the shelf when you don't. So
the elite industry partners we were mentioning, that's we all talked about at the group, how can we all be synced together, right? So how mm-hmm. can we take these notes? And that's what we're going to use as Evernote as a test. So we'll put links in the show notes. And if people want to ask on the message board how the Evernote's working, Chris and I can give you feedback and how we're all linking that Evernote account together so that we can all be stronger to really be the best suppliers for our ideal contractors and architects. So,
yeah.
So what do you listen to while you're driving around, Chris?
Oh, I mean, it's always music. I've kind of gotten in the realm of, it's funny because I've just recently started listening to some podcasts, which is nice because I'm always about multitasking. And yep. if you can, you know, for instance, this I'm sure has an educational value for a lot of people. If you can listen to it while you're driving, that's key. I met with a business coach last year, and she put everything on a podcast for me. And I was like, this is awesome. Because obviously I'm like driving around all – I'm out of the office a ton with all these meetings and association work and networking events. So if I can kind of kill two birds with one stone – that's ideal. Yeah, but,
so if you get stuck in traffic, instead of just beating your head against the steering wheel, you say, sweet, I got to listen to an extra podcast.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I'm listening to myself talk on a podcast. Yes, I love this. But ultimately, mostly music. Like I said, I still DJ quite a bit.
So you got to know the relevant music to play,
yeah, it's,
right?
It's for me to know it, but it's also... it's
you
my,
enjoy it, yeah.
It's my happy place. It really yeah. is. I love it, and... It's funny because I think I'm the calmest person I know in a vehicle. I drive with people and there's so much, you know, the road rage and you see it and I'm just like, I've never gotten it.
Oh, yeah.
And I think a lot of it is because that's my me place and that's where I'm listening to music and I'm just, you know, if I'm in traffic, I'm like, all right, I can... let's turn up the tunes.
I listened to a TED Talk recently about that, the new digital generation.
Uh-huh.
The student that just got this job, and he went in, his only time he was happy was on the way to work, and then during lunch he'd go out in his car for 5 minutes because he lived in his car where he could listen to the music and be who he was. But then he went into the office, and the TED Talk was all about how today's businesses, you walk into an office, it's still pretty much the same setup that it's been forever and ever.
Right.
And new people don't, they want to do stand-up desks or they don't want a desk period or they want to be on the go. And I think that's that whole digital to analog world right now is a big thing, especially in our industry, because I really think it's behind the times in a lot of ways.
So sure, sure.
You got guys like you and I that a lot of people don't even know what a podcast is, you know?
Yeah.
So it's definitely that mixture, and I think it's a breath of fresh air for younger guys like us that grew up more in the digital world mm-hmm. to help the analog guys, but then they also help us by learning the industry. That's what's so cool, I think, in the space of where our industry is.
Yeah. Well, and then also, you know, you need that, especially with what I do, I have to be switched on a lot. So I can't, you know, I'm not going to walk into a networking group and kind of like,
feel bummed out.
Yeah, no one wants to hear if I am having a bad day or something. You know, so you need to, whether you are or not, you need to make that switch when you walk into a room. And if you don't have that time, like, I love my time in my car because I'm just kind of, you know, I can vent what I need to personally and just, you know, listen to some music. And I think you need that. With anything, it's all a balance. You can't have one of too much, so...
Well, any last words of advice, Chris, you want to give us for our podcasters listening to the show?
Yeah, I definitely want to tune in and check, because you mentioned we work with a lot of the same people, and you were showing me some of the other folks that have been on it, and I was like, I know them. Yeah. I know those people.
Yeah, the cool thing about it is either you come in and do an interview and you know a little bit about Chris, but then you leave and we know a lot more about Chris, just like if you listen to the show. So it's really about these industry partners both buying and selling, right, and peeling back the layers to know more about DJ Chris and what Chris really does with Blind Corners and Curves to get us to the next level so we can really all grow our business, right?
Absolutely. And the quality, I think, of people that you have on the podcast is pretty awesome. Because, like I said, I've been in this industry for 3 years. I'm a younger guy. But to be able to work with and be around a lot of these businesses, and like I said, a lot of them are on this podcast, that's really where I've achieved a lot and gotten a lot of success, because I see how it's done. And I see, you know, and of course the company that I work with is bar none the best around. And I've learned so much from Brian.
Who's also been on the show.
Exactly.
Must listen.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I think that's key. And, you know, you mentioned Elite Partners. I mentioned Power Partners. And that's really key. Not only, you know, to be able to create referrals, and it's just to learn from each other.
Yeah.
And I know for a fact, all these businesses learn from each other, and they see what they're doing. And, you know, you're doing this podcast, and, you know, we're doing this thing with the business development guy, and it's really helpful. And I think that's there's a power in that needs to be seen and that we all use.
There's only so much time in the day. If we can all work together to make all our businesses stronger, it's that much better, right?
Oh, yeah.
And so the podcast is the platform that Devin and Kevin chose to use, and it means a lot to us that you said that the guests we've had on the show are, you know, people that you really trust in the industry. And thanks for coming in, man.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, it's really fun to peel back those layers of, you know, really, we had Brian Workman, the owner, and now we kind of had his right-hand man on the show and kind of telling the stories locally of, like, how a whole business networking thing kind of comes together, and then kind of putting it on the table of ways to get involved.
No, absolutely, and he describes it as really business development. And when you think about it, we all do networking, we all go to these events, but he makes a science out of it and turns it into, you know, a process that sounds like it's pretty fun for them. Plus, it's generating dividends, which I think is very, very cool. You know, it's nice to see.
Yeah. Yeah. Chris always has a smile on his face. He's always relevant, has something good to talk about. And that's what we all want, right?
No, absolutely.
So following up from Brian's How to Hire Right, I think Brian did a pretty good job.
I think he did a pretty good job. Yeah. He talked a little bit after we were finished about that process, and it was interesting because you see the results right here. And certainly, you know, Chris is doing a great job out there and everybody knows him.
So we're building this podcast from the ground up, and we have a lot to learn, but I'd highly recommend you going back to the beginning and learning the culture of the podcast that we created from, you know, the rough shows at the beginning and getting better all the time. But it's really fun to see the podcast come together, as well as bringing one layer to the next layer and kind of circling back on those expertise along the way, like how Brian can hire and create a culture with guys like Chris that we love having it in studio MVWD.
Well, and I think part of our culture as a society now is we all want immediate results, right? Everything's fast, everything's quick. We want to push a button and boom, we're there. And we're all guilty of that. We're all in sales in one way or another, and we want to sell our products. And yet what he described is kind of an old school process, which is you got to lay it brick by brick. You got to build the foundation. You got to work your way up. And it might take a couple of years in the case of their business development to see the true benefits and the results, but boy, is it pouring in. So it's certainly working.
Yeah, and it's like he said, networking is a marathon, not a sprint. So you got to really set up your business plan. You know, do the 1 year, 5 year, set your business plan up down the road, just like we did for this podcast. We know it's going to take a while to get there, but we do also know why we're doing it and who we're doing it for, and know we're going to create the culture of this podcast. We want to have the right guests and really look forward to your guys' feedback. So we'd love to hear from you on our Facebook page. Love to hear from you on the message board of our show notes. We make a customized website for every guest. So talk about taking marketing to the next level, right? So
absolutely, and it allows our guests to use the WAVE files and the other information that we provide as a way of promoting their own business in addition to what we've done. So
they always say to grow your business the most is give back. So that's what this podcast is all about, is giving back to the construction industry, doing what we truly love, and have a lot of fun and seeing the smiles like Chris come into Studio MBWD.
No, it sounds great.
Thanks.
You have been listening to The Art of Construction. To listen to more, please go to www.mtnview.us and click on the podcast tab. Don't forget to like us on Facebook, and thanks for listening.